You must believe that He is a forgiving God. He will forgive your sins. And as you ask, they are forgiven. They are, God forgives them. The instant you ask with a sincere and a believing heart, God has forgiven your sins.
Amen.
You don't have to go through any performance, any acts of, what am I trying to say, like the Catholics that crawl up on this, I don't know. You just don't have to go through any of that.
You don't have to do penance.
Penance, that's right. That's the word I was looking for. You don't have to do penance.
But you know, Protestants do penance too.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yes, we do. You know, some of us run to the altar if you're in a church where they give altar calls, and you're dealing with this kind of a guilt package, this feeling of unworthiness. You go down and you pray, and you may cry, and you just don't know what's going on there. And it may not be sin. It may be just a spirit of inferiority and unworthiness. That's what we're talking about here. And that keeps you from living a victorious Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you say, well, if I'd tithe more, if I'd give more, if I'd work harder for the church, if I'd sweep the church parking lot, if I'd, you know, do all these things. Well, that's kind of a Protestant concept of penance. If I can do a performance, maybe God will accept me.
Mm-hmm.
He's already accepted you.
That's right.
Well, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for our friends that are listening today that just need to open up their hearts and admit that spirit of fear, intimidation, unworthiness, that spirit of bitterness, all of those things that keep us down. And Lord, many times those came into our lives when we were young children from a father that was just way too vicious and too demanding and too structured and too hard and too controlling, or from a mother or a grandparent or someone around us, an older brother or sister. Father, today I just ask that our friends would allow you to open up their hearts, to reach in there and take that defilement away of unworthiness and fear and doubt and anger and all that stuff, Father God, that holds us down as Christians.
Yes.
Lord, I believe today that you're healing the inner man of the heart that's been struggling for a long time, that's been wounded. Father God, wash the windshield of our life. Let us see who you really are, that you're the healer, the deliverer, that you sent Jesus for a purpose. That purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. You tell us that, Father God, in 1 John. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of the devil. Satan would like to keep us down all our lives, but we're declaring today here in Darren in Denver that that doesn't have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving us victory, making
us
overcomers, healing us, Lord, and healing us emotionally, Father God, so even we can be healed physically. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. I know some of you were deeply touched and you were changed. And I praise God for that, because now you can hear the word with an open heart, and you can hear revelations of God with open eyes and open ears.
Amen.
And take it in. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We rejoice with you. Now we're going to go right into the thorn of the flesh, Darren. We're going to really work over this phrase. And for that, you go into the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And in the very beginning of the 12th chapter, Darren, Paul is talking about a man who's translated up into paradise. In fact, he said he was there for 14 days. He doesn't say he was the man, but we understand him as that man. He's talking in second person instead of first person. But we know it's Paul that was translated up into paradise. Why do you think he was? God showed him all these wonderful things in Revelations.
Well, he said at one point, what I have received I got by direct revelation.
Why do you think God allowed him to go up there and see that, though?
You know, I think in part it was so he could handle what he was going through.
Oh, I believe that.
You know, I believe God was giving him a vision. And it says, in fact, I'll find it here. I believe it's in Ephesians. It says here in Ephesians 3, that verse 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote to you before in brief. I believe that God opened up the spirit world, let him see, so that he could hang in here. And he was chosen and used by God to write 2/3 of the New Testament.
That's right.
And yet at one point, and I need to say this to some of you that have been in sin, some of you have fallen off the wagon a number of times. He said at one point, he said he was the chiefest of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
He was guilty of murder.
That's right.
He had had Christians murdered. Well, here I believe that God gave him a vision, and I believe Jesus had a vision that if he would go through the cross, he could then send us Holy Spirit, which is a major part of Paul's ministry, is telling us about the anointing of God that can change circumstances.
That's right. I believe that you're right, though, that he had been so brutally beaten and that discouragement could have come upon him and depression. But God took him up into heaven to show him the wonderful things. And he says he couldn't even express them in words, what he had seen. And so I know that God showed him this to open the door for him ministry that he was going to lead him to. And I remember when he was blinded on the road to Damascus as Saul, and he came to the city, and God's prophecy for him was, you must suffer much for the gospel. Paul knew he was going to have to suffer much.
You know, we could say, let me give you this. And by referring to this, speaking of that revelation, in the fourth verse of Ephesians 3, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ.
Mm. Praise God.
Insight into the mystery.
And some of you listening, you're going to need that revelation of the mysteries of Christ to get you out of the situations you're in. No man, no human being, no human circumstance is going to get you out of it. It's going to be a revelation of the mysteries of
Amen.
Jesus Christ
Amen.
That are going to deliver you.
And you know, we've been called the stewards of the mysteries and the secret counsels
That's
of God.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you why you pay such a price. Satan, the anointed one of the devil, I mean, he's the anointed of wickedness, hates everything to do with righteousness. Mm-hmm. So if you've thrown in with God, if you've gotten born again, you came out of the devil's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light, and the devil's mad. He's
mm-hmm.
fighting mad, and he wants to get you back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first part of 2 Corinthians 12 is about Paul's marvelous revelation in Paris while he was up in heaven with God. And then we start in the seventh verse. But before the seventh verse, I want to go into the Old Testament, Darren, and explain the verse or the phrase, thorn in the flesh. And we only have three references here of thorn in the flesh. The first one appears in Numbers 33:55, and we must remember that Paul was a scholar. He was a Pharisee. He had grown up under the great teaching of Gamaliel, and he knew the first five books of the Old Testament by heart as a Pharisee. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, this book of Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So in Numbers 33:55, and he was very familiar with this phrase, God was telling the children of Israel that in order to live in the new promised land, they had to drive out the inhabitants. And he was saying in the 55th verse of Numbers 33, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come that those whom you let remain will become pricks in your eyes and thorns in your flesh. These were human beings
right.
that he was warning Israel about.
And, you know, that really is a description of that. And I'd like to say to you, this is one of the sayings in that day. And today we have sayings like, well, I lost my shirt, or that person is a total stranger to me. Now, we would say that in our idiom, but a foreigner may not understand that. And here, we're really foreigners when we come down to reading Paul's thorn in the flesh here. And we're going to give you more on that as this message continues.